In this passage, Paul is giving believers a new life in Christ. We must put on the character of Christ and let His peace, His word, and His name govern everything that we do. So how does this translate for Christian action? To put on the character of Christ every day and let His word shape your relationships, your attitude, and your worship. If any of you have ever had children and you've tried to dress a toddler, that can sometimes turn into an Olympic sport. One time my son decided that he didn't want to wear the outfit that was laid out for him to church. Instead, he put on his cowboy boots, his swim trunks, and a Batman cape, and declared proudly, "I am ready." And I suppose he was ready for something, but it was not for church. Paul here tells the believers in Colossians 3 that because we belong to Christ, we have a new identity. And that new identity requires a new spiritual wardrobe. The Christian does not put on virtues to earn God's love. We put them on because we already have it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, open our hearts to Your Spirit. Illuminate Your Word. Shape our thinking, stir our affections, and strengthen our obedience. Make Christ visible in us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in this first point, our identity is in Christ. Paul begins with identity before duty. Paul reminds them, the people at Colossae, and us of three truths. First, the elect of God. We are chosen, not because of our own merit, but because of God's great mercy. This should invoke emotion for us. It should invoke humility, wonder, and gratitude. Secondly, holy, meaning that we are set apart. This is a positional and practical. We belong to God, therefore, we must display His character. And finally, beloved. That means that we are deeply loved. You don't dress yourself in a Christ-like character to win God's love. You dress that way because you already have it. So how do we apply this? Your new wardrobe is in your new identity. You act like Christ because you belong to Christ. Secondly, our Christ-like character, the back half, 12b through verse 14, Paul says here, the bowels of mercy. This is compassion. When is the last time you really had true compassion? You hurt because somebody else hurt. You felt that sorrow just like it was happening to you. This compassion that Paul talks about here is a deep, gut-level tenderness towards the hurting. Folks, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Look around. We got a lot of space in here for a lot of hurting people. The people of Blue Springs, the people of Independence, the people of wherever you live desperately need Jesus Christ. They are hurting and don't even know it. We need to respond not in human strength, but in a surrendered dependence of Jesus Christ. So our action as Christians, we need to ask God to soften your heart towards those you normally overlook. Secondly, Paul talks about kindness. Not politeness, but goodness in action. Grace made visible. You know, we're getting ready to go into the holiday season, and we're going to spend time with family. And we got some family. We're all adults here. We got some family that we don't always maybe see eye to eye with. And we are polite because we want to keep everything kind of going and kind of smooth. But we really need to have goodness in our heart. We need to love that person. We need to show them the grace that Jesus Christ showed us. Finally, we have humbleness of mind. What Paul's talking about here, this counters the pride that destroys relationships. Pride says, I deserve. Humility says, Christ served. Meekness. Meekness is a very unique quality. This is strength under control. Have you ever been shown meekness? Have you ever applied meekness? I think everybody in their life has been exposed to a gentle giant, somebody that was physically big in stature, and yet had the most tender, loving heart that you could find anywhere. Could crush you physically with the strength of their hands, and yet crushed you with the love of their heart. Meekness is not weakness, but gentleness guided by the Holy Spirit. Jesus embodied this perfectly. Long-suffering. Well, long-suffering is patience. And patience, that is love stretched out over time. For those of you that have been married more than about 15 minutes, this is patience. If you've had children or grandchildren or neighbor, this is patience. You're going to love that person regardless. Forbearing one another, verse 13. Bearing with the frustrations and the imperfections of others. You want to see an expert? Just go over and talk to my wife. She forbears with me. A lot of times I think she just wants to forearm me. But forbearing, we find that in our marriages. We find that in church life. We find that in our friendship. Forbearance is the glue that holds this all together. Forgiving one another. Here's another big one in verse 13. Why? Why do we need to forgive? Because Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This is the emotional apex of this passage. This is the weight of this command is tied to the emotional weight of the gospel. So how do we put this in action? Forgiveness. Forgive freely because you have been forgiven fully. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, He didn't die just for a few. He died for all of them. He didn't pick and choose. We don't get to pick and choose. Love is the belt that holds this whole outfit together. If we don't have love, we don't have anything. The bond of perfectness. Everything in Christ's character is rooted in love. Our Christ ruled relationships, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So the word rule in this context means to umpire or to decide or to govern. The peace of Christ becomes the governing factor. The peace of Christ becomes a governing referee of your interactions. Peace must rule your heart. Kind of hard to think about when we're trying to deal with somebody on a phone call with customer service and we're getting nowhere. It's kind of hard to have that kind of when we're driving down the highway and we're getting cut off. This morning on the way to church, we saw somebody had tried to beat the train. I don't know that they had a lot of peace in their mind. Locomotives are generally undefeated. And it's only a tie when they hit another locomotive. This peace must rule in our heart. When Christ's peace rules inwardly, conflict cannot rule outwardly. Let me say that one more time. When Christ's peace rules inside, conflict cannot rule outside. Do you ever meet that one person in your life? Steady as a rock, cool as a cucumber. I had an old senior chief, who's about 6'2", and I just thought he was about a 6'2" piece of Valium. Nothing could rattle this guy. Hey, senior, that building's on fire. It'll be all right. Go over there and do that. Completely level. Completely at peace. Are we able to say the same? Peace must rule in the body. We are called in one body. This is the work in the church. Unity. Harmony and godly relationships. Unity, harmony, and godly relationships. Are you working on those three? Boy, it don't take much to get off the unity wagon. It takes a lot of work to have godly relationships. It takes a lot of work to stay in harmony with one another. My neighborhood is all abuzz this last week and into this week. A large majority of us got a letter. The city is going to do this vast sweep of inspections of about 10 blocks of folks. And so people have been working diligently until the wee hours. I went out last night to take the dog out, and 11:30 at night, the neighbor's still clanging away and cleaning up his yard and working and scraping and going, trying to maintain harmony, not wanting to get called out. Thirdly, Paul says here that, and we need to be thankful. Thankfulness is the atmosphere in which peace thrives. A complaining heart will never produce a peaceful life. You ever been around that one person? The whiner, the sniveler, the complainer. You ever been with that one person? Everything can be going wonderful, and when this person shows up within 15 minutes, everybody's mad. We're not to be that person. We're to be thankful. If you want to be thankful, take some time each day, or better yet, at the end and at the end of the week, and take a few moments and look at all of the prayers and all of the things that God has provided for you. You know how many times God has answered prayers that you have had privately. We pray corporately as a church, and God has answered those prayers, and God has provided for you when there was no path forward. When you saw no path forward, God has provided. Folks, if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have a lot to be thankful for. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In this, there are three phrases that matter. Let. That means that you need to permit or yield. You must choose to open the door of your heart to the Scripture. You can sit and read this book every single day, but until you let it into your heart, you are just simply reading. You can sit in a pew in here for 40 years, but until you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are lost. You can get in this tank, and you can go under 100 times, but unless you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're just getting wet. You have to let Jesus in. The word of Christ, this is the gospel and all of Scripture. The word reveals Christ, forms Christ, and empowers all Christ-like living. 2 decades ago, a phrase came out, WWJD. And you still see some of the wristbands running around. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? That is the question that we seriously need to be asking ourselves in all that we do. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus handle us? What would Jesus say? Christ-like living. Dwell richly. Live abundantly. Take residence. Not visitation, but habitation. Well, what does this produce? Well, teaching. Clear doctrinal, sound instruction. Admonishing. Gentle correction rooted in grace. There's two types of way to be corrected or to correct. You can scream and holler and you can flail about, and if you're the one being corrected, as soon as the screaming and hollering happens, you just tune it out. You're done. But if that person gently comes to you and says, "Hey, sir, ma'am, really need to do this," or better yet, if the Lord says, "I really need you to do this," we need to do it the way Jesus would. "Hey, brother, I love you, but..." "Hey, sister, I love you, but..." Music that disciples, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spirit-filled people are singing people. But note, the gospel is not a performance. It is singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, one of the reasons I'm not up here helping sing, because there isn't a big enough bucket to carry my tune. And that's the point. It's not whether I can hit a key or a pitch or have rhythm. Am I truly worshiping God in my heart when I praise Him? Is my heart aligned with Him? Or am I simply doing this for show? So our action is we need to fill our lives with Scripture until Scripture fills your life with Christ. And finally, verse 17 here, the Christ-centered life. "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." In this final verse, Paul's summary, this is his crescendo. "Whatsoever ye do, public or private, spiritual or ordinary, preaching or parenting, it all matters. It all matters. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. To act in the name of the Lord Jesus. It means we need to act under His authority, in His character, and for His glory. Folks, if you hadn't figured this out yet, there is nothing here that has anything to do with us. In fact, our very being here today should be about, and the only thing it should be about, is Jesus Christ. More importantly, Jesus Christ's work on the cross. His love for us. Giving thanks to God, the Father, by Him. Gratitude is the soundtrack for the Christian life. Are we grateful? Are we grateful? Our action as Christians is we need to live our entire life under the lordship of Christ and for the glory of Christ. Everything happens for a reason. Everything has a purpose. Friday, I jumped in my pickup truck, hooked on the trailer, went down to Bait City, picked up the mowers from the church that had been made winterized, and everything was wonderful. I parked my truck, no problems. I got to get in it yesterday, and it wouldn't start. Huh, what started yesterday? It's nice and warm out, shouldn't have been a problem, shouldn't have been an issue. So I thought, well, I had some place to needed to be. In fact, it needed to be up here. And so I came up here, Got done what I needed to get done, went back home. I thought, I'm going to investigate this and see what's going on. So I'm looking around and I don't see any obvious problems. So I get out my piece of cardboard to put on the ground and I crawl up underneath. And one of the two bolts that holds the starter on was about that far out. Not only that, I had two bolts that hold the bell housing to the block were completely gone. So trying to figure out what size they are and what to do and looking up, I was traveling to the parts store, and of course, they don't have anything, just a little bit too long, either two, I had two sizes, too short and too long. And then I went to another store, didn't have anything, but on the way back, I got home, and I was telling Laura, I said, hey, this is what's going on, and she says, well, thank you, Jesus. Being thankful, what happens if I'd been driving down the road and that other bolt would have cut loose or that bolt would have flipped up and lost the start and drug and tore that all up? That little truck I drive weighs 13,000 pounds. That could have been bad news for me or anybody in front of me. We need to give thanks. Folks, if we're sitting in here today, we're in the greatest country in the world, and we got a lot to be thankful for. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you got it all. Paul says here that we have to put on a new identity. We are chosen, we are holy, and we are beloved. Therefore, we need to put on this new wardrobe that he has told us about. A wardrobe of compassion, of kindness, of humility, of meekness, of patience, forgiveness, and most importantly, love. We need to let Jesus Christ rule our heart, his word fill our mind, his name govern our whole life. This is a spirit-filled work in us. It leads to spirit-filled living. Folks, here in just a little bit, we are going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We are going to celebrate Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us. At the end of this service, we are going to celebrate a baptism of a young lady that has given her heart to Jesus Christ. If you are here today and you don't have a Jesus Christ in your heart, if you're here today and you don't even know who Jesus Christ is, I would encourage you at the end of the service to come find me, to come find Pastor Dan, to come find the other Pastor Dan. We don't have anything else better to do today than tell you about Jesus Christ and what he did for us, and what he can do, and what he has already done for you. We want you to make the biggest decision, the best decision that you will ever make in your life, is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and knowing that your future is secure. Folks, the bottom line is that our spirit will live on forever. And if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we will be with Him in glory forever. But if you walk out of here today and you don't know Jesus Christ and something happens, then your eternity will be spent in hell. Jesus Christ loved you and died for you. And it's an absolutely free gift. Make him your Savior today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.